Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. State lawmakers learned earlier this month that the current state budget is projected to be $69 million short in the current fiscal year, and projected revenue for next year isn't looking much better. Could recreational marijuana sales fill part of the state budget gap? This hour, we'll talk about the possible economic impact of recreational sales and some concerns about the industry. And we want to hear from you. Do you think a recreational marijuana industry would be a good thing for New Mexico? Why or why not? Does the potential financial benefit change how you think about legalization? Join us today by calling 1-877-899-5866. In a few minutes, we're going to have State Representative Bill McCamley from Las Cruces in studio, and we have Kelly O'Donnell on the phone. Kelly's an economist who wrote a report this year on the potential economic impact of a recreational industry. Kelly, let's start with you. You looked at this issue and estimated the market for recreational or social use marijuana sales could be more than $400 million in the first year. That's total revenue, not taxes, which would have to be set in legislation. How did you come up with those numbers?
Well, there are, first of all, thanks for having me. There's a pretty straightforward methodology for estimating the demand for recreational cannabis. We start with survey data that gives us a good sense of what the major consumption, of course, is in the black and gray markets, with folks consuming, recreational cannabis that they procure, illegally, essentially. And we have some estimates of what that demand looks like. Then we also have estimates provided largely by the experience of other states about what tourism demand looks like, folks coming into the state and purchasing recreational cannabis, using it here and leaving. And we essentially sum those two, taking into account the impact that that legalization will have on demand, and also taking into account the fact that that there will be some taxes in place, and that will impact demand as well.
There's a big question out there. We've heard it here on the KUNM Call-In Show when we talked about the state budget in the special session. Could recreational cannabis sales save the state budget and replace oil and gas revenue that we've lost in recent years?
No. Recreational cannabis could provide a nice source of revenue that would certainly offset some of the budgetary problems we're having now, but it is not a panacea. It would be a nice addition to the budget that would help preserve some state services, but it will never replace oil and gas.
Kelly, part of your background is also you worked in the Richardson administration in tax and rev. What are some issues that you think lawmakers would have to consider if they were to seriously debate legislation on recreational sales in the next legislative session?
Well, I think there are a couple of issues. Number one, you want to tax this commodity. That makes perfect sense. But you don't want to set the tax so high that you basically encourage a robust black market or gray market to continue. What you want is for folks who are purchasing cannabis in the gray and black markets to purchase it legally. And so with that in mind, you have to set a tax that's reasonable, that doesn't inflate the price so much that you don't actually shift consumers over into your legalized market. That's number one. I think number two, coming at it from my background in regulation, there's a huge role for sensible policy when it comes to regulating producers and retailers. And so when we talk about the potential large market and a potential significant source of tax revenue, we have to keep in mind that assumes rational tax policy and rational regulatory policy that protects public safety and public health, but at the same time doesn't hobble the industry to the extent that it can't operate.
Is there a way that you can measure the potential public safety and public health impacts? Is that something you looked at as well?
I did not look at that specifically in my analysis. However, in doing research on other states, it would appear that the public safety / public health impacts are generally positive, in the sense that there has been, in my in according to my research, are very little increase or even a decrease in crime in those states, you know, around cannabis in those states that have legalized recreational sales. That's number one. I think number two, particularly relevant to New Mexico, is the fact that we have a very serious issue with opioid abuse and overdose. And to some extent, the folks who are becoming addicted are obtaining their first experience with opioids through prescription painkillers. We know that medical marijuana has a great potential to replace prescription painkillers for some people. And so to the extent that we prevent addiction and overdose, even to a tiny extent, we're having a huge public health benefit.
Kelly, thanks for that. That's Kelly O'Donnell. She's an economist who has looked at medical cannabis in the industry here in New Mexico and also the potential for a recreational market. Do you support recreational cannabis legalization but don't use it yourself? Why is this issue important to you? Or are you opposed to the legalization of recreational cannabis? What are your greatest concerns? Is it health, safety, the possibility that kids might be able to get products like edibles? Give us a call right now and share your thoughts, 877-899-5866. Again, that's 877-899-5866. KUNM News is also on Twitter and Facebook, and you can share your thoughts with us there. We have now Representative Bill McCanley in studio. Welcome.
Good morning.
You have proposed in past legislative sessions bills to legalize recreational cannabis. Why is this issue important to you?
Well, I live, you know, 30 miles from the border with Mexico, and it's just a real shame that we have a substance like cannabis that is actually safer to use than alcohol, and yet we continue to basically allow drug cartels to get funded with tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of New Mexicans' money when we could be shifting that money into the hands of legitimate business folks and the government, where we're proposing to use the money for educational work, economic development, healthcare, that sort of thing. So it just seems like a real shame that we're taking this money. We're basically allowing the drug cartels to have this money, and we're not using it for real useful things. And as you can talk about, and I'm sure that has been talked about numerous times on this show and many others, the actual effects of cannabis on the body and on society are a lot less than prohibition. And we saw the failure of prohibition in the 1920s, where more people were drinking more booze at the end of prohibition than when it started. The murder rate in the United States doubled and then went back down again when we got rid of it. So prohibition doesn't work. To tax and regulate cannabis like alcohol is just straight up good public policy and will allow us, as you were talking about, to bring that money into the system. I noticed you had Kelly on a little earlier. If her numbers are right, and it's upwards of $400 billion in business activity generated for the state, that would mean that, according to my bill, you'd bring anywhere between $60 and $70 million into the state coffers to help fund our kids, fund economic development, and do the things we need to do to get the state back on track.
Now, is now the timing now with a continued budget deficit, is that changing how you're looking at your legislation or how you're talking to people about it? Do you think the conversation's different now?
I think the conversation's changed because Democrats won the legislature back, of control of the legislature here in the last year. You know, when I introduced this bill, not all Republicans are opposed to this. In fact, some support it, but the majority were. And when you control the mechanisms of the legislature, it meant that my bill either didn't get a hearing, like what happened either in the special session and in the session last year and this last winter in 2016. But in 2015, it was sent to die. It was basically given, I believe, five committee assignments, which for layman's terms means it's death. And the first committee it was sent to, he knew that even the Democrats on that committee weren't going to support this, the Speaker of the House. So now that Democrats have taken control, it doesn't mean that anything is guaranteed to pass, but that the legislation is going to get a fair hearing. And that's what we're really looking at here in a couple of weeks when the legislative session starts.
Very interesting. That's Bill McCanley, state representative. The Albuquerque Journal commissioned a poll in October and found 61% of New Mexicans support legalizing recreational marijuana for adult use. Where do you stand on the issue? Do you think attitudes are changing? Do you still have concerns, or have you changed your mind about marijuana? What do you want lawmakers to be considering if this legislation comes up again in January? Bill McCanley is going to introduce it, correct? You're going to introduce it? Yep. 877-899-5866 is the number to call to join our conversation today. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org. We have Emily Kaltenbach in studio as well. She's state director for the Drug Policy Alliance in New Mexico. Your organization's worked on this issue for several years. What evidence do you have to point that this would be a better thing for New Mexicans than current prohibitions on marijuana?
Well, thank you, Sarah, for having me today. Yeah, we've been working on this issue for many years here in New Mexico, but also nationally. Our organization was very active in most of the recent wins across the nation where California legalized, Massachusetts, Maine, and Nevada. So this is an issue that we're very focused on. And you know, I think it's really an issue about reducing the harm from prohibition, and I think Representative McCamley stated it very well. We know right now that our children have access to marijuana, and that's in the underground market. And let's bring that market into the storefronts and regulate it to make our children safer. Let's protect them. Let's card our children. Let's make sure that people who are purchasing legal marijuana know what they're purchasing. They should know the concentration level. So there's also just a piece of consumer safety and protection that's really important that comes with a regulated
to regulations for alcohol. What's similar and what's different in your mind?
Well, I mean, I think we've learned a lot from alcohol. If you ask a lot of young people now whether it's easier to get alcohol or marijuana, they'll say it's easier to get marijuana. And so I think that says that when you have a regulated system, you're actually going to be keeping those substances out of the hands of our children. I think, though, we need to think about ways that we can educate our children better, honest, reality-based education about the harms of marijuana. And so I think we can do better than alcohol. I think we need to learn how not to advertise to children about these products. And we need to put more money into prevention and education.
And can I add 2 points to that? I think you're absolutely right. But I would say 2 other things. First of all, when you see what's happened in Colorado, when you look at the actual numbers, you actually see either the same amount of teenagers using marijuana or a slight decrease since legalization happened. And I think a lot of times it loses its shine if it's regulated. The second thing is when you look at the argument that a lot of opponents make with this will be an entryway, it's
a gateway drug.
If you go to a drug dealer to get marijuana, what are they going to have? They're going to have all sorts of other illegal drugs on them, and they're going to push them on you. If I go to a regulated store selling cannabis, they're not going to have anything else. So I actually think that when you tax and regulate cannabis and treat it like alcohol, the gateway drug argument is actually going to be lessened because of that fact.
Thanks, Representative McCamley. I'd like to go now to a call. We have a lot of calls coming in. Miguel in Albuquerque, what comment do you want to add to our conversation today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Miguel, what would you like to add?
Yes, I'd just like to add that coming from Washington State, I'm a federal agent. Washington State has legalized for recreational use as well. And what we found is that crime has increased when it's related to cannabis, mostly due to home invasions, burglaries, assaults, robberies. And so it doesn't necessarily change the face of maybe there'll be less crimes related to drugs. So that's something to consider. The other thing that I've seen is that a lot of drug dealers do kind of specialize in certain amounts, certain types of drugs. And what we've seen from, you know, the representative mentioned the cartels, and I agree with his position. But at the same time, these cartels are now pushing other drugs at a lot cheaper price, for example, methamphetamine. So they flood the market now with something that's more potent and more dangerous at a lot cheaper price than it would cost to go buy commercial or legal cannabis.
Miguel, thanks for your call today. Thank you for adding those points. We're going to have another law enforcement perspective on in just a moment. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. You can join our conversation today by calling 877-899-5866. We are focusing this hour on proposals to legalize recreational cannabis sales in New Mexico. Call in and share your thoughts at 877-899-5866 or find us on Twitter, KUNM News.
This Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., the Children's Hour will be having meteorologists from the National Weather Service in Albuquerque to talk about the temperatures across the globe. It may be freezing in the morning, but 2016 was anything but cold. Plus, our friends from the ABQ Biopark Botanical Gardens will have a lot more going on than just the River of Lights. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. on the Children's Hour, right here on KUNM.
Conductor Simon Rattle.
You know, I've known the Nutcracker since I was a kid, but it came relatively late on that I started listening to the whole piece. I became, I must say, more and more fascinated by this music.
Coming up, Simon Rattle conducting the Berlin Philharmonic in the Nutcracker on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking today about recreational marijuana and proposals to legalize it here in New Mexico. The phone lines are getting pretty full, but you can also send an email to callinshow@kunm.org. I'd like to now bring on Jose Ramirez, Deputy Director for the New Mexico Region of the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas, or HIDTA. Jose, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me. And if I sound a little weird, I apologize. I woke up a little, feeling a little under the weather this morning. But thanks for having me on the show. You know, I've sat here and listened to both the representative and some of the other folks on the show about some of the statistics that relate to, you know, for Colorado, for example, where they've legalized marijuana. And it's kind of interesting because all of the statistics that we have seen in Colorado, for example, the rate of use has doubled or tripled. The number of crashes involving marijuana use has increased. Fatalities related to marijuana use have increased. And so I'm not sure where those other statistics are coming from, but I can tell you that even states may try and make projections about potential tax revenue, when you consider all the other social costs, economic costs that using marijuana or legalizing marijuana brings, such as healthcare costs and public safety costs, I honestly don't think there is a net gain there. So,
Jose, I have a question for you. And, you know, Miguel, our DEA agent who just called in as a listener, I was wondering if there a way to divide up someone who's involved in some sort of crime, or let's say, like you said, a crash, and is it marijuana or something else? Isn't it possible that people would be using multiple drugs at a time? How can you know for sure that marijuana is the source of that drug issue?
Well, that has actually been one of the problems with many of the states that have legalized marijuana, is that they don't have the data tracking systems in place to be able to truly measure the impact that legalizing marijuana has had in their states. But Colorado actually did a pretty decent job about beginning to track some of those statistics early on. So most of those law enforcement agencies are tracking, for example, crashes where marijuana use was present, fatalities where, toxicology or where marijuana was actually detected as well. So even though, like you said, in many instances there are multiple drugs that are used, it all depends on the state and how robust those mechanisms are in terms of data collection and data tracking and all of that.
Other than, say, crashes, which you've mentioned, what are some of your top concerns that you would want lawmakers to consider as they're debating this legislation in January?
Well, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is, you know, New Mexico has high rates of DWI rates, for example. And right now, when you deal with DWIs, intoxicating, driving under the influence of intoxicating alcohol, you know, there's field sobriety tests, or standardized field sobriety tests. There's instruments that measure that. And right now, because the legalization of marijuana use is so relatively new, you know, the technology hasn't caught up. So most law enforcement officers out in the field either don't have the equipment to test for impairment involving THC, which is the one of the active ingredients in marijuana. So I would argue that officers out in the field, law enforcement agencies aren't prepared to deal with the public safety issue of, drivers driving under the impairment of marijuana.
One more question for you. Do you think law enforcement might need, sounds like you're saying they might need additional resources, maybe even additional funding, if lawmakers were to legalize recreational cannabis in New Mexico?
I think you would see several departments that would need substantially more funding, departments that are affected, like public safety, like Department of, Agriculture, Taxation and Revenue, Department of Health specifically. You will find that, one of the things that Colorado learned from their legalization was that the attraction of, homeless persons and their rate of homeless persons has gone through the roof. And so that's one of the things that you can expect to deal with in a state where you legalize marijuana. You will have persons attracted to the state for that reason from surrounding states, and we'll have to deal with those costs as well.
Jose Ramirez, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jose Ramirez is the deputy director for the New Mexico region of the high-intensity drug trafficking areas, or HIDA. Representative Bill McCanley, how are you addressing the concerns of law enforcement in your legislation?
Well, let me just say two things. First off, when you actually look, and I have the statistics right in front of me from Colorado, the when you take into account population growth. Now, remember, Colorado's economy has skyrocketed, and they've actually had the second biggest population growth in the country. And according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, when you take that into account, the actual burglaries and the other crimes that Mr. Ramirez was talking about has actually stayed steady, according to those actual numbers coming from the FBI. When you actually – the Denver police spokesman, Sonny Jackson, is actually quoted in the Denver Post as saying, yeah, crime is up, but that's happening nationwide, and I don't think that you can relate it to marijuana. So even the Denver police – are saying that these statistics have nothing to do with legalization of cannabis. The second problem with a lot of the statistics regarding highway accidents is that THC stays in your blood for a month after you use it. While the effects only last for a short period of time, if I use cannabis either in an edible fashion or I smoke it and I get into a wreck a week later, I'm not going to be high. But when they do a toxicology report, it's going to show up in my system. So I think it's a really inaccurate portrayal of any type of traffic situation to say that there's been this increase and that's affected really the traffic fatalities, when it's really hard to distinguish when a person is actually under the effects of THC.
I want to also talk in just a moment about young people and children. It's come up a little bit, but I have some other questions. We have a full phone line here. I want to go to a couple of calls. Richard in John in El Prado. John, welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. What's your comment today?
My comment is that I think Bill's really completely on the right track and all that sort of stuff, but it seems to me that all this talk about money for the state treasury, that's all well and good, but I think it's kind of a red herring. It's a spinoff, and it's a spinoff I'm all for, but the thing of it is, as he said earlier on, you know, back in the day, prohibition against liquor, I don't know if he said that exactly, got us some mobs. And now prohibition against Mary Jane marijuana has got us the cartels. I think we just need to legalize it to get a handle on this stuff. Otherwise, the war against drugs has been a complete failure.
Thanks for your call today, John. We also have an email comment. Legalizing pot wouldn't solve all of our problems, but it would be a start. Colorado makes this clear. If the New Mexico GOP doesn't wake up and legalize pot this year, they are guilty or of dereliction of duty. That's you can also share your comments with us at callinshow@kunm.org or call 877-899-5866. Emily Kaltenbach from the Drug Policy Alliance in New Mexico. How does your organization address the issue of young people having access to marijuana products like edibles? Is that something you're concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think when we worked in Colorado, we have an office in Colorado, so we've been tracking the impact of the policy on young people. And we advocate for safe packaging of edibles. Edibles should not be promoted to young people. And I think we learned a lot in Colorado, and we've seen the regulations shift as a result. And so I think that in New Mexico, we can do even better, and we can create a gold standard for our legislation that protects our children.
And as Representative McCamley, is that also something that you've addressed in your legislation?
Yeah. Access? So basically what we've put into our bill is a set up specific amount of money that will go to help with drug education and prevention to the Department of Health. We don't want young people using this. And what we think, though, is that if we do tax and regulate the substance like we do alcohol, we'll be able to get a better handle on how the distribution methods work, on, as Emily pointed out, carding people when they come in to buy the drugs. And I think that's really what we want to do. We want to make sure that people who want to use this substance in a responsible and fair way, like folks who like to have a glass of wine at dinner or have a drink on the weekend, can do so without having our young people. Because, like, yeah, there is some data out there showing that you don't want young folks using the substance because it does have an effect on brain development. But that's what we're working towards, and that's why we specifically set up a portion of our funding to go to prevention programs.
It's Representative Bill McCamley from Las Cruces. We want to hear from you today. What do you think about what you've heard so far on the show? Are you concerned about opening up recreational marijuana sales, or do you think they'd be a good thing for New Mexico? 877-899-5866. Let's go now to Sarah in Albuquerque. Sarah, what do you want to add to our conversation?
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I am a mental health counselor, and I work with a lot of folks who are recovering from alcohol addiction and addiction to harder drugs like opiates, heroin, and methamphetamine. And for all of these people, I see that marijuana is so helpful for them in regulating themselves from states of extreme anxiety. And, you know, I really want to live in a state where people who really need it have access to it to be able to calm down and relax and not have the really terrible repercussions that addiction to the harder substances like alcohol can have. So I'm not a consumer of marijuana, but I am an advocate of its legalization.
Sarah, thanks for that. Emily, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that there's some recent data that actually shows that in medical marijuana states, opiate addiction has decreased. And here in our state, our Medical Advisory Board for the Medical Cannabis Program just recommended to the Secretary of Health to add opiate addiction as a qualifying condition for marijuana. So I just want to affirm what we just heard by this mental health counselor, that in fact, marijuana use can be very helpful as a substitution therapy for opiates and other drugs, even alcohol. And so there's just growing research right now that's showing that connection.
Well, and can I add one thing to that as well? So we need to remember that since, I believe, 2007, we've had the medicinal cannabis program here in New Mexico, and it has grown exponentially. There are now 30,000 people in the state with a medicinal cannabis card that are using cannabis on a regular basis. So for a lot of these doom and gloom situations about rise in the rates of burglaries and traffic fatalities, well, we have basically a population bigger than the size of Roswell in the state that is currently safely and responsibly using cannabis. This isn't a new thing for New Mexico. We just want to expand it to social use, tax it and regulate it, and do so in a way that's going to be responsible. And I think the fact that we've got this program, we haven't seen an asteroid come to New Mexico and blow it sky high. It gives us a real good picture about what this could do moving forward. And it's, I think, a good public policy step for the state.
Let's go now to Richard in Espanola. Richard, welcome to the KUNM call-in show. What do you want to say?
Hi, good morning. I'm just a recent transplant from Colorado myself. I'm not a user. I have not seen any issues. I came from a small mountain town, and, you know, the only effect I ever saw was on the job situation. A lot of times people didn't get jobs because they did use marijuana, and I think that stigma needs to end. I don't necessarily think it's fair for someone to come home and have a couple, you know, a joint, and then someone else could go home and drink a 12-pack and be able to work as well. It just seems ridiculous to me that that stigma is still attached to the marijuana use.
Thanks for your call, Richard. Let's go now to David in Albuquerque. David, what's your comment today?
Hi, Sarah. Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to point out one of the side effects of making marijuana illegal has been the rise of these other more hardcore drugs like meth and crack. If you think about prohibition back in the day, when they outlawed alcohol, that just gave rise to the bootleggers, which is the modern equivalent, or the cartels are that modern equivalent. But just as the drug cartels make more dangerous drugs and use more synthetic products, so too the bootleggers of old made more dangerous alcohol. If they had just left it alone, there wouldn't have been the need to push it underground. You can't take people's morals and make laws about them, about their convictions of what they're going to put in their body. And I think history has proven over and over that this just doesn't work. And this war on drugs is a huge failure. The cost savings for not having a police state and not having the prison system and not having the incarceration, which is devastating to humanity because it doesn't produce a good result. All it does is turn people into animals. We've got to legalize this. It's just the only logical step to take.
That is an interesting point, the cost to the justice system, which can be challenging to measure. Representative McKinley, you want to make a comment
on that? Yeah, so that number, when you count up the police efforts, courts, and the criminal justice prison system regarding the cost of enforcing these marijuana laws in the state, add it all up, is $33 million a year. So what we're saying is that if we tax and regulate this substance like alcohol, that money can be shifted to go after violent crimes, murders, rapes, that sort of thing. And I think that's where the people of New Mexico really want to see that money focused, not on having someone who smoked a joint have to go into the criminal justice system.
And Emily Kaltenbach from the Drug Policy Alliance, you also want to make a comment there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with the representative. If we can shift these dollars over, I mean, we know that 3,000 people in this state get arrested for marijuana every year, if not more. And so even if we could shift the dollars that it costs to arrest them, and again, that's not counting the courts and the public defenders and the district attorneys. I mean, it's a huge amount of money that in cost savings that we could shift to prevention and education for our young people.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. You can also join our conversation today about recreational marijuana and proposals to legalize it in New Mexico. The number is 877-899-5866. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org. I'd like to now welcome State Senator Craig Brandt, who represents District 40 in Sandoval County. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You've had some concerns in the past when similar legislation has been introduced. What are those concerns?
Well, I think one of the main things that was already mentioned was brain development. And, you know, we know that the brain isn't fully developed until you're 25 years old. So one of the things I'd like to see is if we legalize it, that it be legalized at 25.
And you've been looking at the rollout of regulations in Colorado. What do you think about what you've heard and seen up there so far?
Well, I was actually just there a little over a week ago and speaking with some of my colleagues up there. You know, they did it through a constitutional amendment, and it caused quite a few problems because they just didn't have the infrastructure set up the way it was. They've had a large increase in young people using underage use has more than doubled in Colorado since it's been legalized because they haven't controlled it getting to young people. They've had a huge increase in edibles that are designed specifically for young people, like lollipops and suckers and a lot of the brownies and things like that. So I think if we do it here, you know, we've just got to make sure it's regulated in the right way to keep it out of the hands of minors.
And Senator Brandt, do you see some opportunity for bipartisan compromise if the issues like that were addressed, the labeling?
Absolutely. I think there's several of us on the Republican side that are more than willing to work on some of these issues to try to make sure that it's done as best as possible. I mean, we still have to acknowledge that it is illegal federally, but we can set up a system that will be as safe as possible for us in our state, and making sure that it's done in a way that isn't going to cause a lot of the problems that they have had in Colorado. They've literally got a huge homeless problem that has increased significantly since marijuana has been legalized up there. And there's a lot of issues that they didn't deal with that we can look at what they've now had to come back and deal with and make sure that we don't make those same mistakes.
Representative McKinley, you mentioned earlier talking to Republicans across the aisle. Do you think there's the potential for a bipartisan compromise next year?
Well, I hope so. But I just want to point out, Senator Brandt, I really respect him a lot. But I'm looking right here at a 2015 Healthy Kids Colorado survey that shows that the amount of cannabis used by teens has actually stayed constant. There's another one I can show by Scientific American, same year, shows that the rate has actually dropped a little bit. And it's funny because the rate of teen use in Colorado is actually below the national average. And that's happened both before legalization and after legalization. So just want to let people know that no more children are not using cannabis after legalization than before. But yes, I do think that we need to talk about how we work across the aisle to address these issues and do so in a way. One of the more frustrating parts of this process to me is that the governor has been so anti-cannabis that this bill has been introduced. It's been in the process. We've had a chance to talk about it before committees. It went to the Senate, made it to the floor, at least the constitutional amendment. But we can't engage with the governor's folks in the cabinet and figuring out a way to craft a piece of legislation that's going to be able to be implemented in a responsible manner. That's been really frustrating. We want to do this right. Look, this is going to happen. When you look at the poll numbers, as you pointed out, the recent Albuquerque Journal poll showed 61%. Another poll done last February showed 60% of people were in favor. And when you say that most of the money is going to go to education, that number increases to 68%. New Mexicans want this. It's happening now. 20% of the people in the United States can use cannabis legally. I think there's 26, 27 states that have medicinal cannabis being used. And so this is going to happen. The question is, do we want to do it sooner rather than later? And I think sooner is obviously the best way to look at it. And how we end up doing it to make sure that it's the most responsible way possible.
Senator Brandt, just want to come. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that Representative McCamley and I just found our first thing that we agree on. and thing we can work on, because I also agree that the governor's office has been pretty unwavering on this. I have actually tried to approach the governor's office several times on, is there a compromise that we can work on that you'd be willing to sign? Because I agree with Representative McCamley, this is going to happen. It's the only reason I'm actually even working on this, because I've never touched the stuff and probably never will. But yet I see it coming, and I want it done right, and I want it done responsibly for our state. And I think doing it through a constitutional amendment would not guarantee that. But if we did it through a bill that we both sides worked on and both sides agreed on, then I think we can cut off some of these errors that Colorado has had and some of the issues Colorado has had. We can cut them off before they ever happen here, and that we can have a good policy that will really help us.
Senator Brandt, thank you so much for making the time for us today and joining the conversation. The constitutional amendment is something that's been raised as that could be, if lawmakers passed a constitutional amendment, it would go to the voters to vote on this issue. Would look very different than a piece of legislation. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Our focus today is recreational marijuana sales and the potential to legalize those sales here in New Mexico. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You have until December 31st to donate your car or truck and get a tax receipt for 2016. We'll arrange to pick it up, and even if it doesn't sell until January, you'll get a tax write-off for this year because you claim the deduction in the year it was donated.
Hurry! To get a tax deduction for this year, you need to call before December 31st to see if your car qualifies. The number to call is 888-KUNM-CAR. Call today. That's 888-586-6227.
I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. Coming up on our next show, we'll discuss proposed pipelines. From Canada to New Mexico to Louisiana, there are dozens of pipeline projects in various stages of development. We'll hear more on some of these fights and the threats they pose to Native nations and surrounding areas.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Thanks for joining the KUNM Collins Show today. Let's go now to Carmen in Rio Rancho. Carmen, what would you like to add to our conversation?
Good morning. Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit about the intersection of race within this conversation. And I'm concerned particularly about those, as you have maybe, I think, mentioned there's been 3,000 folks that might have been imprisoned this past year or charges brought against them. My concern is about how across the nation and likely here in New Mexico, the majority of people that have been affected by being punished with marijuana use are people of color and poor people and generally men of color. And I want to know, what does this mean for those that might have charges against them right now, or in the past year? Because it's like all of a sudden we're legalizing this when young people who might have made a mistake with this because the law said it was illegal, now, tomorrow, we're going to change it and legalize it. What happens to all of those people? Because I don't think it's right that we've criminalized people of color, poor people, in possession of marijuana, and then tomorrow, people who have money, and generally across the nation I'm talking about, white people who would purchase this now can benefit from it in a way that poor communities and poor people of color have not. So there's an issue of race here to me, especially with those that have had charges. So how is that going to impact those people that have charges recently? Those that have committed this in the past, are we going to be able to get that off of their record? Because I think it's not right to have punished people for so long, and they're living with these consequences, and now we change the law.
That's a very good question, Carmen. We're gonna get to that with our guests in just a moment. I'd like to take a few more callers. We have Russell in Albuquerque. Russell, what do you want to add?
I just wanted to put in that we have an honor farm right here south of Albuquerque in Los Lunas. It's huge. The state could grow a lot of money down there. I don't see why they'd have to be taxing it when they could be growing it.
That's an interesting point. Thanks for calling in today, Russell. Also, we have Nat from Santa Fe. Nat, what's your concern on this issue?
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I heard a little crunching noise. The caller just previous to the last caller brought up a lot of the issues that I was going to touch on, the disproportionate number of people of color and people without access to legal resources who end up incarcerated for small offenses, and that if it were to be legalized for recreational use with adequate controls in place, the law enforcement would be freed up to address other more serious crimes than possession of small amounts. And our prisons are really overburdened with minor offenses related to cannabis possession. So I think that the previous caller touched on some issues that I was going to in a greater amount of detail. So thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Nat. Emily Kaltenbach from the Drug Policy Alliance in New Mexico. This is a big issue for you, people of color being incarcerated for drug offenses.
That's right. I mean, this issue is really a racial justice issue, something we've been advocating for a long time on. We use rates by people of color and white people are virtually the same. But when you look at who gets arrested, it is, as we just heard from Carmen and Nat, young people of color who end up in our jails for possessing marijuana. And we need to address that fact here. That happens here. So we are advocating in the legislation that actually people who have had a record of marijuana use have those records expunged. And that's in the California legislation that just passed. And then we also need to consider retroactivity so that people who have been recently charged and incarcerated are released because of their use, because we don't want to see that ongoing discrimination happen under a legal regulated market. And I think we can do that. In California, people are being released right there in the courtroom. We've been tracking those stories. And so that's a very, very important point.
We also got an email question about that. What about commuting sentences for people who are serving time for marijuana-related crimes? Representative McCamley, is that in your legislation?
Yeah, we're working on that. And I think that is important to say, look, if we made a mistake here and this is something that doesn't deserve prosecution, then we need to make sure that if you've been arrested from that, there's a process where you can get that either arrest or that process expunged. The long and short of it is this. Do we really want to be spending taxpayer money through our courts and our cops and our prisons prosecuting people for using cannabis? And the answer from the vast majority of New Mexicans is no. And so how do we stop that process in the most expeditious way possible?
Is it possible to put a specific dollar amount on what that costs us?
$33 million a year.
Where does that come from?
I can show you the source, but there's actually different groups out there. And that was in the column that I sent you the other day, that source.
We have that on our website at KUNM.org.
So if you want to look at KUNM.org, I wrote a column about a year and a half ago documenting a lot of these arguments. And I don't have the source right in front of me. But you can go to that and click on that portion of the column and find out where these groups come up with those numbers. But we don't need to be spending $33 million a year in our law enforcement of taxpayer money going after this stuff when there's plenty of other more serious crimes that we need to be prosecuting.
You can still join our conversation today. There's a few more minutes to call in, 877-899-5866. I'd like to go now to Jan in Mountain Air. Jan, you'd like to give us a national picture of what you're thinking about with what this conversation here in New Mexico.
Yeah, but first, one brief comment about New Mexico legislation and trying to get the legislation right, and one of the points being some sort of safeguards in terms of advertising that kids should or shouldn't see. That feels a bit disingenuous since they get to see ads about alcohol and guns. Anyway, on the national scale, Jeff Sessions, when asked how he felt about the Ku Klux Klan, said, oh, they're all right. But then when he found out that many use recreational marijuana, he didn't like them anymore. So he hates marijuana more than he hates the Klan, and as if he becomes the attorney general, he has all the power and all the law behind him. Because, as you said earlier, it's still a federal offense. So then what happens? What's going to happen to New Mexico? What's going to happen to Colorado, Oregon, and all these other states if the feds decide that they're going to enforce the law?
That's an important question. Representative McKinley, how are you thinking about this with the change in administration?
Yeah, it's an interesting question that you all in Albuquerque that really don't have to deal with that much, that we in Las Cruces do. We are actually landlocked by Border Patrol stations that surround Las Cruces. And while most federal agencies have taken kind of a let the states do what they're going to do approach with marijuana. In fact, there was a 2013 piece of paper called the Cole Memo that basically said the Department of Justice will not be prosecuting anybody arrested under marijuana-related crimes unless they do some one of nine things, such as sell to minors or drive while drugged or grow on federal property, that sort of thing. If the federal position on that changes – and the new attorney general, if he's confirmed, decides that this is something he wants to go after, it's going to create massive problems at the state level. Because as we said, 26 or 27 states currently have medicinal cannabis programs where they allow people to use this substance effectively for cancer, PTSD. There's a ton of veterans that use cannabis very effectively to really fight their PTSD, especially in contrast to opiates, which are kind of the national drug of choice for addressing PTSD. But once again, with Colorado, Nevada, Washington, California, Massachusetts, Alaska, all saying yes to this, 20% of the United States population under state law is now going to be allowed to use cannabis socially, legally. So what kind of conflict is that going to create? Now, I will say that though the president-elect vacillates greatly, to say the least, on some of his policy statements. He has said that this should be left up to the states. So we're going to take him at his word unless he changes his mind, and hopefully anybody in his administration will follow his rules.
Emily Kaltenbach, you work for a national organization that works in different states. Is there a federal state issue that you guys are having to navigate as you come up with policy recommendations and look at this issue?
Well, I think Representative McCanley talked about the coal memo. I mean, that's something that we, our federal office, helped work on and advocate for to try to limit the state and federal issues. I just want to go back to Sessions. I think we have to be really concerned about these potential appointments, and these are dinosaurs of the failed drug war and our worst nightmare. But I think that means that New Mexico should more than ever push for a legal regulated market. This is a state's rights issue under the 10th Amendment of our Constitution and should be looked at so by the president-elect. So I think we need to show that states can create these laboratories of success, and legalizing marijuana is one of those, and we need to be pushing back.
I'd like to take a couple more callers before we end this hour. Luke in Albuquerque, what would you like to add briefly to our conversation today?
Thank you. I would like to say that I note an absence of a panel of medical doctors, physicians, and fellows that are doing research at medical universities in the United States. Their absence on these discussions regarding marijuana. And I would also like to say, where is the research for safety on the recreational use of marijuana? It's dearthly absent on these discussions on the radio. And third, I think a distinction should be made between the active ingredients of medical marijuana and the recreational ingredients for recreational use, which is THC. They're just two different things. And to also compare alcohol to marijuana, they are radically two different substances. Thank you very much.
Those are very important points. This is certainly not the last time that we'll talk about these issues. I'm personally interested in research on medical marijuana, which is happening here in New Mexico. Final comments very briefly. Representative McCanley, you're going to introduce legislation in January. What are you expecting in the debate next year?
Well, hopefully it'll be debate like we've had today about the actual statistics and real data. Hopefully this isn't just throwing fake news out there and saying that double the amount of kids in Colorado are now using cannabis when that's just not the case. Hopefully it's not saying, well, all these traffic fatalities are the result of cannabis when actually that's not the case. I hope we have a real discussion about the facts and figures here. And I would also encourage your listeners, look, politics matter. Elections matter. Getting involved in the public sphere matters. And if this is a topic that is important to you, get involved, talk to your legislators, talk to your House of Rep member, talk to your senator member, and talk to the governor's office. And then once again, we have elections coming up for the city of Albuquerque and many other municipalities in this upcoming year. And I noticed that there was an announcement for governor the other day. So obviously those discussions are starting to happen right now. Get involved, ask where people stand on these issues, and figure out accordingly where you want to support.
Emily Kaltenbach, final thought you want to leave with folks?
Yeah, I think it's time we grow New Mexico and we legalize marijuana. Let's create a safe, regulated market that works for New Mexico and takes the $400 million out of the criminal market and out into a safe, regulated market that can go back to behavioral health and education.
All right. Thank you so much for listening today. If you missed part of the show, including Senator Brandt, who joined us to talk about some of his concerns, things that he'd like to see addressed in future legislation, you can go to KUNM.org and listen to the full hour. That's all the time we have today. Thank you to everyone who called in to share your opinion about recreational cannabis. The conversation doesn't have to end here. Find KUNM News on Twitter or go to the KUNM call-in show page at KUNM.org. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'm also the producer of New Mexico and Focus on New Mexico PBS. Marino Spencer was the engineer today, and Anna Landy screened your calls. Elaine Baumgartel is executive producer. There's no live call-in show next week. You can check out all of the upcoming programs on KUNM online at KUNM.org.